How many people here this morning love Jesus? Love the Lord, love God. How many of us can say that God rescued us from ourselves at one time or another? How many of us can say we have loved ones today? Come on, that's okay. We're just down to earth here, honey. How many people say today we have folks that we would love to be sitting beside us today in church? How many of us would drive 100 miles to pick them up and bring them to church? Amen. Why? Because you know who Jesus is. This book is called the truth. And where God says, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. We would do about anything there is right now to bring a loved one in, a sibling in, a child in to the house of God. We tell them how great the Lord is for us. They see Christ living in our life. And we wish that, boy, they were here today. Throw them all up. Thank you. We want the best for them. I share that because I want to look at something a little bit different this morning for a moment. I'm always a little bit different, I know. But it's talking about the truth. And then Carol spoke here as she was leading us today. And right now in our country, we have a battle going on with illegal aliens coming in. They're coming everywhere. They're coming under the fence, over the fence, around the fence. Some of them are stuffed inside of rental trucks, trunks. They're trying to get to America. And I believe, myself, this is my belief, is that we welcome those into our country as they come into the designated way that we have set up. I believe that who wouldn't want to come to America? Who wouldn't want to come to the land of the free? Who wouldn't want their children to be raised here, to get across that border? But we have established a way of getting to get citizenship to come into America. I'm 100% around having a border wall. I mean, God showed us that in the Bible. It's smart to have your walls around your country. Because not everybody comes in wants to be nice. They want to destroy you. But I said this morning, our hearts will not grow cold. And when we see these kids being used to come in our country, and you see mamas sneaking in America with their kids trying to find a better life, and they come illegal, yes, they need to be dealt with. May our hearts not grow cold as Christians, as God's love, to show them love, to embrace them, not to make them feel like they're worthless and no good and that they should get out. I mean, yes, they might have to be deported, understand. We have laws, I believe, established, and we should go by them. But that cannot stop our hearts from loving them and reaching out to them. And helping and show them the love of Jesus, at least while they're there. At least while they're here. Because they're in a place, man, they don't know where they're at. I mean, they just know that where they're coming from. I mean, some of them are coming from a place that those today try to make America that way. They're fleeing socialism and communism, trying to make it to America, only coming here where the powers that be right now is trying to turn away where they're fleeing from. And we need to stand up for our rights. They're given to us. And we need to enforce those rights. But we can't let our hearts grow cold towards a fellow person made in the image of the living God. God's heart breaks when he looks at this. Jesus spoke of this in the scripture I want to share with you this morning. In the book of Luke, we go to the 10th chapter, in verse 30. And I know it's not popular maybe in some circles today when you're talking about feeding those who are here illegal. I mean, right now, I mean, my understanding, they are picking up these folks and they're just taking them at nighttime to different cities and drop them off. Different around the United States, just dropping them off. I mean, you talk about cruel, being cruel. Can you imagine for a moment yourself? Carol, imagine yourself as a youngster. You finally make it to America. You snuck in. Yes, you got Ryan with you. He's 3 years old. You know what to do. You want a better place for your son to raise. And they pick you up in the middle of the night. And the next thing you know, they dump you out here in Coshocton, Ohio. You don't know anybody. You can't speak our language. And you're scared. Look at the abuse can come your way. They take you guys and... They need protection. I know it's not very popular right now, but they need to be protected until we get them back to where they're supposed to be. They're a child of... Create an image of God. They may not be a child of God yet. But man, to see our love that Christ is in us, to reach out to help. I went a few years ago. It's probably been 12 years ago. Came here illegally. Been here for like 10 years. Got a job working. Oh, man. Wasn't married yet, but had a couple of children. I mean, really trying, and they caught him. And they're going to deport him. And he was here illegal. But I did write a letter to the place in Texas and describe what type of citizen he has been for the last 12 years and what he has accomplished and stuff. And they used that letter to allow him, didn't say come back in, to go through the process to become a natural citizen. You know, he still had to go through it. You know, the laws of the law, we need to go by that. But it showed that he didn't come in here to destroy, he came for the American dream. And it's been 2.5 years after that, last time I had contact with him, he was doing really well. Now, I'm not sure where he's at today, but to go through the system. But Jesus kind of speaks upon this today, and what we call the Good Samaritan is a good reminder for us, because... As Christians, sometimes when we do the things that people don't look down at you and say, well, what would you do that for? I would never do it. And but we show you why we do it. And that's why I just laid upon my heart this morning about helping those who, everybody else right now is starting to hate these folks coming in. But who's letting them in? Who is the one right now that's, I mean... They're using these folks coming in. They're a political pawn is all they are for them. And we'll discuss that in the next verse here in a minute. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell onto the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. And when you read that, you think, okay, what's happening here? But you have a Jewish guy that's been beat up, been robbed. Been robbed. He's laying on the streets. He's stripped. They say he's half dead. And by chance, a priest, otherwise, by chance, a religious person was walking down the street. And he looked down and he saw him. So we're looking at probably the same, I would say we're talking about the same nationality, you know. You got a priest, you're looking at a Jew laying there. All beat up. Dun, 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 dun. You're looking this way, probably. I was going to say a Walkman on his ears, but that's old school. But, you know, every excuse. How far away I wonder he saw him when he decided to cross the street, you know? And maybe two obvious walk up and say, oh, man. Over here. Probably going down the road, maybe got to the local diner. Hey, did you see that guy beat up along the street? Oh, tell me about him. Denying they even know him. Then he says, here comes along a Levite walking down the street also. When he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side, avoiding him. But who showed up? A Samaritan. Samaritan and Jews did not get along. A Samaritan was a dog in the eyes of a Jew. The Jewish folks spoke against the Samaritans and nothing to do with them. I mean, they'd be little. I mean, it was a Samaritan there was talking to Jesus about her daughter. And she made a comment, well, can't at least the dogs have their crumbs off the table? Have you remember that parable? Man, just think for a second. The chances are this guy laying there robbed was running his mouth the day before about the Samaritans. Maybe this guy even heard it. I don't know. But the key word here, he was moved with compassion. Compassion. Everybody else is avoiding him. There he is, walks over, not just ministers to him. Takes him to the place to get help. He says, listen, I'll be back in a couple of days, man. If it costs more money to attend his wounds, I'll pay the bill. Wow. Is that love? Do you think when that the guy who got robbed, when he recovers, you think for a moment he might have a different outlook on the Samaritans? Yep. I bet he would he not? Don't you think maybe as time went on in a gathering and somebody starts running their mouth, but boy, all of them Samaritans aren't no good, they're worthless. You think he might speak up and say, "Hey, I don't know, but I can tell you about one. I can tell you about one. Look at the difference. Healing process between relations, between different groups, I'm going to put it that way. All because he was moved with compassion. And folks, we cannot allow our compassion to leave us. We have to have that. We got to keep that kindled. And the way we keep that kindled is what you're doing right now. Getting in the Word and listening and see what the Master did. Because he lives in us. If you're born again, the Spirit of the living God lives within us. And he wants to do the same thing the day that he did when he walked himself upon this earth. Amen? He wants to. So when we say, Lord, take my life, it's worthless, man. Come and take me, use me. Boom. He just kind of comes in and he puts his arms through your arms and your mouth. And says, okay. What do you want to do, Lord? Well, I'm going to do the same thing I did 2,000 years ago. And 1,000 years ago, to everyone who gave their life to me, I'm going to carry on the ministry of reconciliation, of salvation, of being delivered. Man! That's what he's called us to do. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. Who think the God of all creation could use it that way? Your mouth belongs to the Lord. Wow. Even on days where it mouths when it shouldn't mouth, it still belongs to the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're not perfect guys. But we want to be like the Master. Satan will try to shut you down. Bring up what you did last night. You're in church this morning. He knows what you did last night. Amen. I don't know what you did. So please, no. There wasn't any discerning spirit going on there. Okay, you have me in front of me. Okay. But God rejoices you're here. Amen. No. But he rejoices because Christ, we are his body. Remember, Jesus is supposed to be the head of the church. Amen. Amen? Jesus is the head, okay? It's not your board the head of it. Jesus is. And the board, if you have a board, should be submitted under to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. But this is what he wants us to do. To be that Samaritan. And folks, I'm telling you what, Jesus, woo, he made a comment. Gail, you're either for me or you're against me. What a powerful statement. When you're not quite sure where someone stands or a denomination stands or a church stands, just look at it where they stand on the Word of God. You're either for me, it's 100% me, or you're against me. And that's it. There's no in-between. Oh, preacher, now, we understand the Bible, but you take it too far. Show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. That's all I ask. But it's not too hard to tell right now, in the day that we're living in, there's a great divide among what the so-called churches are. You understand what I'm saying? A big divide in that. And it's time for the church to stand up for the Word of God, stand up for the blood of Jesus. It's by His blood, only by His blood, that we have salvation. It's not by a name. It's not by a denomination. It's not how much money you give. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that He shared on the cross. And when you receive that blood, you die to yourself, you follow Him, you pick up your cross, and you share the gospel, you stand up for the Word of God, you don't compromise, you got a mouth, you got to use it for Him, and speak out the truth. And those who ain't, shut up!
Take back the things the devil stole from us.
Exactly. And any panty waist churches out there that's sitting down keeping their mouth shut, embracing the things of the devil, that they be blown away. And I don't mean blown up, blown away like the wind blow across them and shut their mouths up because they're trying to divide more and more. And I'm telling you, it's not a coincidence. God says, a house divided cannot stand. So he tries to get the churches fight among themselves. I'm telling you, if the blood of Christ ain't covering that church, it ain't a church. It's a social gathering. Now I'm telling you what, the truth is the truth. And a lie is a lie. Do not be afraid to speak up against the lies that some are bringing forth. Pastor, and we know the scripture, don't come against another one of the workmen, right? But we come against the devil. And from the pulpits across America, the devil is spewing out his division, his lies. We need to stand up and speak the truth. This is the truth, right here. And the amazing thing is, we all agree this is the truth, right? Amen. But what it has to do, it has to become your truth. There's a difference there. Well, I believe the Bible, but man, we need to get into the point that we know that it becomes my truth, my life, the way I live. I mean, when this becomes my truth, this is how I live, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to go by the word of my preacher saying this is the truth. It became truth to me as I studied it, as I dwelt on it, as I prayed. Now listen, when you believe in something, truly believe in something, you'll never ever compromise. And folks, I know there's a lot of compromising goes on in different areas. If you belong to a union, you compromise how many days off you get, how many hours, okay? I remember back in the 80s, my dear brother here remember this, there's a word out there called corporate trend. Better way of saying it, union busting. And people grabbed a hold of that and started destroying what working men had made for decades and decades and decades. Corporate trend started tearing things down a little bit. But when this word is fastened to your heart and to your spirit, you're never going to compromise because look what's taking place now. Look at Coshocton. Where's all the jobs at that we had, all the good paying jobs? There's some coming back, but look at them. Look at our government today. We look at it. Look at ourselves. Let's go back 30, 40, 50 years ago. We got to look at ourselves. How many used to vote for people and we voted for the least of two evils? You ever say that? Just as guilty. I mean, we saw them. We saw the guy, the number 14th guy here on the running for a local township. But he didn't have a chance to win, did he? So we'd rather get somebody up here a little, not quite as evil as the other guy. But you know what would happen if we were stuck up for number 14 guy? So we forget our God does the impossible. You know, when we say, well, it just can't be done, he says, okay, step back. That's what he does the most. You know what I'm saying? If we have a heart for it, if we can find that in here, we stand on his word, let him do what he says he's going to do. And that's where his church is coming back, believing in the word of God more than man. More than man. Our country today is divided. And some are saying it's Democrat against Republican. Folks, it's deeper than that. It is definitely good versus evil. A house divided will not stand. And that's the sole purpose of this, is to tear down the country that the hand of God built with men. We can look now and look at what compromise did in our nation over the last 40 and 50 years. Where is that today? Now, this last election, folks, isn't over with yet. I'm telling you what, if we continue to seek and intercede and pray for the truth to come out and be reckoned with, it ain't done yet. Now, a lot of people are getting tired. Oh, preacher, shut up. Oh, we heard the prophecies last year. Trump, 2 terms. Okay. But look what's been revealed to us. Look what, who'd ever thought that corruption is so deep in our country today? We would never known it. And we had to reckon this thing. Us. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's kind of hard to get it explained. But I'm telling you what, the amazing thing, the enemy is starting to eat itself. They're going to devour ourselves. The only reason I say that I bring this up again is because I believe our nation, God isn't done with us yet. I believe He isn't. If we're not done with them, if we're willing to go through a few things to expose the evil, remove the evil, then establish godly men and women and principles again, our children and grandchildren still got the capability of having a life known Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Has to be that way. You see more and more coming. I mean, look at Arizona. They got people come all over the place studying theirs. People are going to start getting... Some people have been threatened. It's amazing when they get threatened with going to jail, how they get their memory back. How they find these emails that's been deleted. We can't give up. I know it's getting... Oh, you want to bang your head against the wall. But we can't... Satan's going to try to wear you down. But the truth is the truth, and we have to demand that truth that we brought out and dealt with. Justice to be served. This nation, we have a life yet to be that light for other nations. But we cannot grow weary. Can't give it up. We can't let Satan wear us down, guys. Not one bit. We have an issue going on now in the school system. Critical race theory. I mean, again, that's the same thing as Democrats against Republicans. It's not Democrats against Republicans, it's good versus evil. There is corruption on both sides. Now look, this critical race theory they're trying to bring into the schools. In fact, law schools are kicking it out now. It has to be shown it's evil and good. God created all races. And you got the Klan on one side, you got BLM on the other side. So you're even. But we try and bring that division to our school. They want our kids, grandkids, to start hating one another. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. Just trying to wear us down. But we need to stand up on the principles that we have through our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the power we have in the Word of God. And be men and women, be grandparents and aunts and uncles, willing to stand up saying that this isn't correct. This is a terrorist group. This is a lie. And demand the truth. Everything I'm speaking of, they all work for us. The government, they work for us. The schools, we pay the schools. School board, we select school board members, right? They work for us. And how can they work for us? They don't know how we're thinking. And the old squeaky wheel gets the most of the grease, they say. And I'm not saying get nasty with them. Speak. Exactly, brother. Speak. In fact, Tim, I can reason more with you. You know, I just have a conversation. Then you're back there screaming at me, throwing your chair at me, you know. You might get my attention quicker, but you're not going to change my mind any, you know. No, that ain't going to happen. But he wants us to recognize what the enemy is trying to do. Another one I had down here is General Patton. If I say who all knew General Patton, the way he did, but you all heard of him, right? Well, Sally, you might know him. I know you know him. I'm just kidding. Military. We got a lot of military people who are blessed. We had a fellow I worked with over the sheriff's office. It was funny because Herman Gallagher. Anybody remember Herman Gallagher? Awesome. To look at him, you have no idea. He served with Patton. Oh, my land sakes. The stories he could tell. But one thing I'll tell you, he told me about Patton. He hated Patton's guts. Despised him. Oh. But he said, I had all the respect in the world for him. He was a soldier's soldier. And his language was terrible. His demeanor was terrible. But he came to do a job. And he did that job well. He said, I had all the respect in the world for that man. If you brought General Patton back today and put him in the White House, they'd hang him probably. For the love he has for this country and the demeanor he had. But it takes patents to get things done. We had a Patton in the White House for 4 years. His language wasn't very good. He tweeted sometimes, we cringed. But I truly believe God used him. And we cried out to our country to come back again. He used him. We cannot forget what God started with that man. We cannot rely on that man to carry us. Amen? Amen. We have to stand up for God's word and be bold enough now to speak it. I think he rallied people up, realized, man, look, we've been sleeping too long. We've been sleeping too long. And I don't know what would happen if it went the other way 4 years ago. I mean, they were trying to suffocate the church and put her out. So may it just be a stimulus to us to continue on loving people but standing for our rights and watching out for one another. Get a brother and sisters in a pickle jar because they're standing for the truth. Stand beside them. Speak out for them. I truly believe there's more for us than against us. Remember, only a third of the angels went with Satan. Two-thirds stayed with the Master. And they've been assigned to watching over us. And we need to be strengthened and bold enough to stand up for the truth. No one's perfect. I understand that. And we all have different ways we like to express ourselves. But I believe that God can use anybody that's willing to submit themselves to Him. He'll use them as they are, but he'll work on to change them into his image. Amen? That's the ultimate goal. The last thing we need is 3 million Starkeys running around here. Okay, 2 million, honey? 1 million? No. You think, okay. Well, I agree with you, you know, because I'm mixing a lot of things. Unique, I'll take that one for sure, okay? But in John 8:31 and verse 32, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the truth will set you free. Sometime the truth will step on your toes. Amen? Sometimes the truth is going to break your heart. But the truth is the truth. We look at the Word of God and we see that it is the truth. I mean, when God calls out sin, sin is sin. And we look at stuff and we say, man, it can't be sin. I've been doing that all my life. But been sinning. And sometimes we get mad. We get mad at God. Well, he made me this way. He made me enjoy that sin. I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I'm 43 years old. I'm doing all my life. I enjoy it. And we get mad at God. But then we have to recognize that, well, he's born in sin. God says that Satan is your father. Does that make you mad? Does that make you mad when you sit there for a moment before you got born again and realize that Satan is your father? Who wants to hear that? Who gets mad? What, you tell me my father is Satan? No, I'm not telling you that. Jesus is. And when you think about that for a while, and you really concentrate on it, you think, oh, he's right. Who I've been obeying all my life. For guys, we do men thing, don't we? That's what men do. Well, without God, the things that we do are Satan. God made me this way. And he did. He made two people. But once we recognize that, we're like, wait. Boy, we get mad at the devil, don't we? We should. All this time I've been deceived. All that stuff in my life that took place. All the stuff I thought I had to accomplish or going to accomplish. And it fell apart. And I blamed everybody else for it. It's my own fault. Because who was I listening to? And you get that part in your life. I was 43. I don't know when you was, or maybe you haven't got that part yet. Man, I am so tired of being deceived. My house has been divided. You get so tired of being deceived. Wow. When you recognize it, who's controlling you, and what he's done, and you see Jesus, one who came to pay the penalty for your sins, to renew you to the Father. And you turn to him, Jeff. Forgive me. Come into my life. I've been deceived. And I kind of knew I was too. Take my life. I'll follow you. Folks, when that moment comes, when you recognize that, there's nothing over here that you want no more. That father, that devil of lies, the father of lies is still out there. He still wants you back. He'll try to convince you everything to come back where you came from. But when you reach that point in your life, you understand your sin nature what has done against God, and how much God loves you, and what He wants to do through you to rescue you from hell, man, you want nothing to do with that anymore. That's why it's important to do what you're doing here and you do during the week. Fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Nowadays, that fellowship is thumbing each other. I call it thumbing. You know what I'm talking about. Texting, tweeting, and all that kind of stuff. But staying connected. Because Satan's waiting to bring you back where you come from. And if you're here today and you believe Jesus, you believe this is the truth, but you never received it yet. You're a pretty good person. You know how bad your neighbor down the street. I want to encourage you that we have fellowship every time we have a gathering. I would like to share with you more what it means to follow Jesus. The need for Him. I don't care if you're 10 years old, if you're 100 years old. We need the Master. He loves us. He loves us enough to show us the truth. Loves us enough to show us the penalty of sin. Loves us enough to go to the cross and die for our sins. And loves us enough to come in and abide with us. We just turn to Him. But don't let this nation divide you. Let God be the center of your life. This week, look to those that you can share His love. Stand up for our rights. Stand up for our laws. But those who are being used, abused, falling in the crack, have that heart of compassion to see what you can do to represent Jesus to them. They might only be in our area three days before they're shipped back somewhere else. But for 3 days, may they see Jesus and know, wow, there is something in America. And don't give up yet. Because God ain't done with us. Amen? Amen.